Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Uber and Lyft say service in Minneapolis is gone May 1st because they don't like the new rules regarding minimum wages for drivers. Plus, South Lake Tahoe and Truckee ban plastic water bottles. Details next in the news.
Summer travel season is coming. Do you need to renew your passport, or maybe you're getting one for the first time? Well, our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20 talks about 8 common mistakes people make with their passports.
One river cruise line is out of business, but others are thriving. At 3:35, we talk to a representative of American Cruise Lines about their river cruise itineraries.
Our buddy Jack Gallagher is coming back to town with a comedy and music at the Sophia on April the 20th. Jack joins us to talk about the new show, which features his band. That's right, he's got a band. Jack joins us at 3:50.
That's all really scary to me, Jack Gallagher in a band. But we'll talk to Jack later in the program. Finally, just before we go at 3:55, our odds and ends roundup includes a story about how major cruise lines are trying to make the check-in process easier for passengers.
We have lots of great information to make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK, on iHeartRadio, around the world, everywhere. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, good to see you. It's another Saturday, time for another travel show. A little rainy and weird out. Here we are on an Easter weekend. Wasn't that long ago. We were always on Sunday for well over 14 years. And yeah. So many things happen on Sundays. Easter and...
Yeah,
so
tomorrow
on.
Easter. And listen, I have something that has nothing to do with the program, but I think the coolest name I've heard in radio in a long time is the weather gal on that just did the weather top of the hour, Rose Tamborino.
I like Rose Tamborino.
Isn't that great? I mean, you didn't have to make up a radio name because, you know, you were lucky. You were born with Tom Romano. It sounds like you made it up and you didn't.
Yeah, well, anyway, I agree. Her name always jumps out at me. I like it. Let's see here. Tomorrow, Sunday, want to wish everybody a happy Easter Sunday. Hope you have a blessed time. Mark, what's new with Sports Leisure Vacations?
Well, I just wanted to quickly mention here we have a lot of our travelers who listen to this program, and their next update of travel information, Sports Leisure Trips, will be coming in about 10 days.
All right. Well, there you go. Got a lot of travel news to cover today. So with that being said, at the top of every Travel Guy show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And here you go from top to bottom with it. Once again, here's Mark Hoffman.
Ride sharing has become really a big part of how people get around, of our economy. A lot of people depend on it. For a way to make a few extra bucks. A lot of people depend on it as a way to make a living. Something very interesting is happening in Minneapolis. The city council up there said, look, you have to pay these people a minimum wage. The people that drive for you to Uber and Lyft, they said these people have to, they're workers. They're entitled to make a minimum wage. Uber and Lyft said, maybe not so much. They make money here, they make money there, they make money over there. And the city council of Minneapolis said, yeah, but no, that doesn't cut it. And you're going to have to pay these people minimum wage. So they passed an ordinance that decreed such. And Uber and Lyft have said, okay, if you do something like that, we may just pull our service out of your city. And the city said, well, okay, we're going to do it anyway. And so they did, and Uber and Lyft now are saying on May the 1st that service will end in the city of Minneapolis. Doesn't mention anything about St. Paul. They are twin cities there, but apparently just Minneapolis. And I find this just absolutely fascinating because I use a little bit of Uber and Lyft when I'm out on the road, and I'm always talking to the drivers about their work conditions and what they think of it and all that stuff, because after all, I have a radio program and 40 minutes of airtime to fill every week. So I'm always curious as to what they have to say, and more frequently recently, especially with the Uber drivers, there's been a lot of grousing about the fact that Uber has jacked up the rates a lot, and their stock is doing extremely well, and they haven't jacked up the pay for the drivers. So here's what's happened is Uber has decided that their stock price is more important than the driver's wages. That's my opinion. And so what's happening is they've announced the stock buyback. What that does is reduces the number of shares of stock in circulation, which drives the price up. The company is making profits for the first time. I'm not saying that a company's not entitled to make a profit. I'm a business person, so I'm all about making profit. But when you make the profit on the back of your workers and your customers, then maybe not so much. And I think this is going to be a fairly big story. I predict that Uber and Lyft will cave to this. At some point before it May the 1st, I predict that they're going to cave in and give in. But if they do, the flip side is you can expect other major cities to follow, and that I'm sure they know that. So it will change their whole operations thing. If you look, I had a $100 ride from Baltimore to Washington, D.C. about a week and a half ago. It's a lot cheaper to fly into Baltimore, and even with the $100 ride for two of us, it was cheaper to Uber down to the city. And when I got the bill, I noticed, Tom, that there was a $50 surcharge. Of the $101 that I was asked to pay without a tip, there was a $50 surcharge. Didn't say anything what it was. And I didn't see it until I was out of the car. But and Uber won't, there's no way to reach Uber. I mean, I tried even as a media person to reach them and for 4 days, and they won't call you back. So this is really, really interesting. The folks in Minneapolis have figured out that this is coming on the back of the workers, and they're not very happy about it. Of course, a lot of people depend on Uber and Lyft to get around. I mean, a lot of people now don't have a vehicle because they figure this ride-sharing thing will get them where they want to go. So if that's pulled out of a major city all of a sudden, it's going to make it a lot tougher for people there to get around. But I this is really worth watching over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Did they mention what the minimum wage was in Minneapolis that they were one of these folks to get?
One of the articles that I've read. Let's see here. Let me just see.
You know, California is starting. Yeah, go ahead.
There is a note here that says Uber drivers made in the U.S. made 17% less on average in 23 than they did in 22, despite working just 3% fewer hours. So they worked 3% less. They made 17% less. The money's going to the company. They're siphoning off the money in order to make a profit. And instead of raising the prices as much as they would have to do that, they've put it on the backs of the drivers. And I mean, listen, after I had this conversation with this driver coming down, and then this and a couple other guys that took me around, of course, Washington, D.C. is a really interesting town because it still has a huge fleet of taxis driving around. However, be not deceived, many of the taxi companies now are in bed with Uber and Lyft. So they're not independent companies anymore. Anyways, we got other things to talk about and cover here. This is going to be a really interesting story, and we will keep an eye on it over the next few weeks. It's going to impact a lot of people in one way or another. Another headline story here. South Lake Tahoe and Truckee have banned plastic water bottles. Why is that important for people who travel? Because you won't be able to buy them in any grocery or other type of store, service station, whatever, in the cities of South Lake Tahoe and Truckee. The people in South Lake Tahoe are tired of seeing these water bottles wash up on the beach. So, right. And I don't blame them, and good for them, and my company. God, we've got to get the cost of the aluminum bottles down, because right now they're about 10 to 20 times the cost the aluminum container of the plastic container. So until we can somehow mitigate that, come up with something that's better for the environment, it's going to be a problem. But anyways, at least the people in Truckee and South Lake Tahoe are putting their foot down. Airbnb has updated part of their cancellation policy. I'm not a big Airbnb user, but it is their extenuating circumstances policy. They've renamed it. Basically, this is a policy that if you knew a hurricane was coming to Florida and you had accommodations lined up there, that you could cancel. So if there was some major disruption. You know, there was a flood. The electricity went out in an area, and it wasn't going to be back on for a couple of days because there was a huge storm, something like that. Then Airbnb has changed their policy slightly to allow people to cancel in some of those instances, but it doesn't cover quite a few other things that you might hope that it would. You know, it doesn't cover illness or personal emergencies or things like that. So if you're an Airbnb user, I would suggest that you take a look at that policy. It may allow you a little bit more flexibility. It may be a little bit more fair to the renter of the vacation home than it used to be. Some airline news here. Spirit Airlines, which was pretty much left for dead, and I'm not sure that they still aren't, they're living off of the money that they got from JetBlue's, the merger with JetBlue that didn't work. JetBlue had to pay them a penalty. And when you see how much cash Spirit has, it's pretty much exactly the amount of money that JetBlue had to pay them. So they're losing money, but they're planning some new routes, none of them from Sacramento. But Spirit Airlines is still in the sky. I would be really careful about buying a ticket on Spirit Airlines. My opinion, but I don't think they're long for the world. Southwest Airlines has acquired a sustainable fuel company. This is kind of interesting. This Dallas-based carrier has purchased Safefire Renewables as part of an investment in Southwest Airlines. So they're trying to make some effort, at least, at coming up with some alternative fuels that won't be quite as polluting. This might be the most important, well, this is the most important news item of the week for a small segment of flyers. The Department of Transportation has drafted new rules protecting flyers with wheelchairs. This has become a big problem in recent years. If you are a handicapped traveler who travels with a chair, imagine you're flying to New York City. You get off the airplane, you go down to baggage claim, and here comes your wheelchair, and the airline hasn't handled it properly, and it's broken. And that's the only way you have to get out of the airport. Now, you've got a 5 or 6 day itinerary in New York City, maybe on business, maybe on pleasure, whatever, but now you've got no way to get around. And the airlines have pretty much said, well, you know, that's just too bad. These things happen in the normal course of handling things. But if you watch them handle wheelchairs, at least in days gone by, and other assistive devices, you would see them being thrown and things that you knew weren't probably good for right. the item. And so the Department of Transportation has drafted some rules that will protect flyers with wheelchairs. So if you are a handicapped flyer, someone who flies with a disability, and you have a chair, this is going to make a huge difference for you because now they're going to have to be accountable. And that probably means that they will pay more attention to how they handle them, so there will be fewer issues. I can't imagine anything worse than, you know, you get there and your luggage doesn't show up. You can buy more luggage. You can get in a car and drive to a store and buy more luggage. You can get more underwear and more toothpaste. But you can't go get a new wheelchair. Congratulations to United Airlines, who's seeing this writing on the wall, has come up with a new digital sizing tool designed to help customers with wheelchairs find the best flights. The size of airplane doors are different. So some people need that chair to get as far as they can and through the door of the plane. So United is creating some tools that will make it a little easier. And also the cargo doors have different sizes. So you want to make sure that your chair will fit on the plane. And United has gone a step further and said, look, if the flight you need, if your chair won't fit on the plane and we can't take it, you tell us what flight that will work for you, and you won't pay any more for that flight than you would have paid for the first one. So some really positive things, I think, happening for people who travel with a wheelchair or other assistive device that they rely on the airline to handle for them. Lightning fire on a Carnival cruise ship, second fire on the same ship in 2 years. The Carnival Freedom lost a trip through the Bahamas, second time in 2 years that they've had a major fire. You may have seen, this was on the internet, so you may have seen.
Yeah, you know, it made the national news, showing smoke billowing out of those, whatever they're called, a big giant thing that sits on the top of the ship, and it's just got smoke just pouring out. And the people on the ship are going, they haven't even been alerted to the fact that there's even a fire.
Well, and wouldn't that be scary? But as it turned out, they knew what was going on and what they were doing. So it. But the same ship, two fires in 2 years. I'm sure somebody's going to sit down and take a look at that. Hey, listen, if you're out on vacation somewhere and you've got a laser and you're thinking it might be cool to point it at an airline, an airplane in the sky, keep in mind that that's illegal. There's a story here about there was a festival in Mexico. Dozens of people shown laser pointers at a passenger jet as it was getting ready to land. They were at a fireworks festival. The plane landed without incident, but obviously the reason we know about this is because the footage made it online. You may think it's a really fun, cool thing to do, but it's not. That laser could blind a pilot at a critical moment in the aircraft's trajectory, especially like this plane was trying to land. So keep in mind if you've got a laser pointer outside that it is illegal to point it at an airplane. Las Vegas had a brand new tourist attraction last year, and it's going to be coming back. The Formula One Grand Prix race, which made its debut last November, is coming back again this November, and they have attacked, at least in some way, something that really got them in a lot of trouble. People really complained about the ticket prices for this. A grandstand ticket for the event, Tom, was about $2,000 for 3 days. That was the most inexpensive ticket. $2,000. Never mind where you stayed or what you ate or what you gambled away or anything like that. So taking pity on the poor folks, the cheapest grandstand ticket for next year will be $1,500. So I'm sure that's going to attract a whole new audience, because obviously there are lots of people who could afford $1,500, he said sarcastically, who couldn't afford $2,000. But anyway, if you're a Formula One racing fan and you went to that or you enjoyed it, the Formula One racing is going to be back. There's also lesser price tickets now for practice runs. So like we go to watch spring training baseball games that don't count and pay, you know, we paid $70, $74 to watch baseball games that didn't matter. The A's sent their minor league team. We paid $74 to watch their game against the Giants. So if you're a racing fan, you can now do the same thing. You can go to Las Vegas, and for only $150, you can watch the practice on Thursday night, or for $2.25, you can watch it on Saturday.
You know, I followed some of that last year when they had the race, and it was quite a spectacle. Very, very cool. Some of the hotels were offering packages, too, which included your grandstand seat and your room and all of that. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Glad to see it's coming back.
Did they grease that before they... no, never mind. anyways... okay, two quick things here, then we got to go because we have another segment before the news at the bottom of the hour. The Skunk Train out of Willits is going to run a whiskey train, couple of them, in April and May. So you can taste fine whiskey while you head up into the Redwoods, and you probably won't care whether you get there or not. and finally, you mentioned tomorrow is Easter. Tom, happy Easter to everyone. Our folks, our friends at Wallet Hub tell us that Sacramento is the 18th best city for Easter in the country. We rank 31st in churches per capita, which is pretty high. We rank 16th in candy and chocolate stores per capita, and 13th in flower and gift shops per capita. And our weather is generally pretty good. So that makes Sacramento the 18th best city in the country to celebrate Easter. And that's your travel news for today.
We're the Travel Guys, TravelGuysRadio.com. Coming up after a short time out, if you're renewing a passport or getting one for the first time, we're going to talk about the 8 common mistakes people make with their passports. Next, here on the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Okay, let's get into this, Mark. It's time to renew a passport or get one for the first time.
Yeah, and the good news, if you didn't hear my reporting a few weeks ago, I renewed my passport. It was a passport that had expired, and I hadn't traveled out of the country since before COVID. Took only a little less than 3 weeks to get it back. Another staff member at Sports Leisure Vacations who went with me, who was applying for the first time, his came a couple days after, and we applied at the same time, his came a couple days after me. So the good news is that the wait time for outbound passports has gotten considerably better. Inbound, not so much, but outbound passports has gotten better. But I still recommend to you, don't say, well, I heard Mark got his in 3 weeks. Heck, I don't have to go down and apply for mine until a month before I leave. That would be a bad decision. So I would continue to tell you, at least I would allow 3 months to get your passport, just so you don't have to sweat it. But apparently the days of going down to San Francisco have and having to pay extra for expedited service may have lessened a little bit. All right, some mistakes that people commonly make with their passport. Canada and Mexico are foreign countries. People sometimes forget this, but you have to have a passport to go to Tijuana or to Vancouver. Whichever, if you're going over the border, you've got to have a passport. The Canadians and the Mexicans are really nice people, but you've got to have a passport to get into either one of those countries. Children's passports only last 5 years. Adult passports last 10. So just make sure, if you're traveling with family and you haven't gone for a little while, check the kids' passports because they're not good for as long a time. Keep your passport in a regular place, whether you're on the road or at home. Make sure you know where it is all the time, especially when you're on the road. If you use a hotel safe, make sure you put something on the door that reminds you to take your passport out of the safe before you leave the room for the last time. Let's see here. Pages. Some countries require you to have a completely blank page. I have no idea why. In your passport. So if South Africa requires 2 pages. So if you're running out of pages, that's an issue. Passports have to be valid 3 to 6 months after your arrival in many countries in order to get in. Also, in many cases, in addition to a passport, you have to have a visa to enter a country. So it's not just a passport. Do your homework and know, because visas sometimes are not easy to get. It's a time factor. So sometimes you need a passport and a visa. So there's some quick tips if you're getting ready to renew your passport and some things you might want to think about.
Excellent, excellent information. All right, coming up after a short timeout, we promised this last week, but we didn't get to it. So it's happening next in just about 3 minutes. We're going to talk river cruises, everything you want to know from the river cruise's mouth. Next here on the Travel Guys. Hello there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Remember now, links to our special guests can always be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Today, got a special guest. We're going to talk a little bit about cruising. We have Faith Alshorn-Selk with the American Cruise Lines on the line with us today. And Faith, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Faith, the landscape for cruising has changed a little bit in the last couple of months. American Queen Voyages, I want to make sure I get that right, a company that's been around in various different forms for a long time, is not in business anymore. It remains to be seen exactly what will happen there. But in the meantime, competitors are thriving. Your company has become the largest in the United States in terms of river cruises. You have a wide variety of product. Full disclosure, I have never tried your product before, but it looks increasingly likely that time is not too far away, since I know that my travelers love river cruising, especially domestic river cruising here in the States, and you have a tremendous amount of variety. Tell us a little bit about the cruise line and where you go and what you do.
Well, Mark, we'd love to welcome you and your travelers aboard, of course. But yes, I'm very proud of the company with whom I'm affiliated. True American Family Success Story. We currently have 20 ships in the water, and we're building at the rate of 3 ships a year in various classes, from coastal to river to our Go Anywhere Coastal Cats. And we do 50-plus itineraries across the U.S., touching 35 states, with some really, really interesting opportunities to explore the U.S.
Faith, what makes river cruising different from ocean-going cruising? What's different about a cruise with your company as opposed to getting on a Holland America ship and running along the coast of Central America or something like that?
Oh, so many things, Mark, but first and foremost, of course, it's the scale. No more than 180 guests on any of our vessels. Some are 90 to 100. Mm-hmm. So it is that intimate scale. You really get to know your fellow travelers. And we attract travelers. They have a deep interest in the areas that we're visiting. They want to learn more about our American history, our big, beautiful country. Largely, they are already well-traveled, having visited most of the world, and now they're ready to stick closer to home. So a huge part of it for me when I'm on our ships is actually the energy aboard. It's so relaxed, congenial, friendly. I love that about it. You're traveling, I like to say, with us, you travel with your neighborhood, not your city.
Faith, with that being said, and the size of a much smaller cruise ship, what is the ratio of people on your ship providing service, the amount of service you get per traveler?
It's about 2.5 guests to one staff.
Okay.
Tom, is an excellent ratio.
Yeah, I would say so. That definitely sounds like it would be. That's a lot of staff.
It's much lower than you would find on ocean going cruises. To me, the difference is all in the attitude. You know, if you're traveling internationally, there are different expectations. I find river cruising to be more laid back. Let me ask you, Faith, what's your most popular product, or even a couple of your products? When I look online here and I see that basically just about anywhere in the country that has water that's navigable, you folks are going. But let me tell all of our listeners that there is a link to your website at travelguysradio.com. So if you're looking to find out more information, you can do that. But give me an idea of maybe what one or two or three of your most popular destinations are.
Fantastic. Thanks for that link, Mark. Our two most popular destinations are the Lower Mississippi and the beautiful Columbia and Snake Rivers in the Pacific Northwest. Those are very, very popular itineraries. Of course, you can go either direction on each of those sailings, east to west or west to east on the Columbia and Snake. And on the Lower Mississippi, you can go between New Orleans and Memphis, either direction. We even have a 6-night round trip New Orleans. In fact, I got off of that sailing this time last week. So I just recently experienced that one. But those are our two most popular.
Many people don't know, Faith, that there is a significant difference in the cruise on, not cruise as in C-R-U-I-S-E, but cruise as in C-R-E-W-S, the people who assist you on board, the staff on board. On river cruises, something that this has been a while back that this occurred by law, but all of the crew are American. Correct?
Correct. Correct. As an American flagged company, everything has to be American. So the ship is built, every ship is built in our own shipyards on the Chesapeake Bay in Salisbury, Maryland, and it runs all the way through the sailings. We're using American labor, paying American salaries, taxes, benefits, and employing Americans all along the way, all the way to the crew that serves our guests aboard the ships. And it does lend a different energy. There's a certain enthusiasm among our crew is what I would say. They're very engaged, and they love engaging with our guests.
Faith, you know, big cruise lines cater to different demographics a lot of times. You know, you'll have special cruises that seem to fit better for seniors, ones that are better for young people. How about your American cruise lines and your river cruises?
We do tend to appeal to the already well-traveled. So largely our guests are retired to semi-retired. I would say that the demographic has come down in recent years with the increased interest in domestic travel. So I would tell you that at this point, we are about on par with the demographic for European river cruising, 55 or better, well-traveled, retired to semi-retired, very interested in the destinations. We don't have any restrictions in terms of more youthful travelers, but it would need to be guests who are really curious about the world around them, perhaps history, geography, geology, that kind of thing.
Fascinating.
We've been talking about river cruises this morning here on the Travel Guys. And if you are interested in finding out more information about American Cruise Lines at TravelGuysRadio.com, there is a link. This is now the premier, and it has been for a while, the premier river cruise line in the country. They have a variety of different itineraries. Faith, before we let you go, is there any one last thing that you'd like to tell our travelers, any important tidbit of information that might help them?
Well, of course, I would just love to say that we would be delighted to welcome your travelers or anyone who might be listening aboard to explore the beautiful U.S. with us. We are so blessed with what we have right here close to home. So when you're ready to skip those long-haul flights and see more of authentic America, please come aboard with me.
Very good. Very good. Once again, our special guest, Faith Alshorn-Selk with America Cruise Lines. What's your favorite meal on your favorite cruise?
Oh my gosh. What a question. They're different on every sailing because we focus on regional cuisine, of course, but you can have an authentic lobster bake in the Northeast, can get beautiful salmon in the Pacific Northwest. Personally, I'm a big fan of beignets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I'm on the lower Mississippi, I have to have that fried dough covered in powdered sugar. I just try not to wear black because that's a disaster.
Well, that's great. Well, Faith, thanks so much for joining us here with the Travel Guys, okay? You sail well.
Thank you both. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share with your listeners.
Beignets, yum and double yum. She made an excellent choice. She could have picked a steak or, you know, fresh seafood or something like that. She picked beignets. Note if you're going to New Orleans that somebody who hasn't had a choice of any food anywhere picked beignets. There's a reason for that.
I've got to take a river cruise. The wife and I have been talking about it. Now, we're going to put that on our list, and I think this is the cruise line that we're going to go with. What the heck?
There's a Might lot as well. Less drama on a river cruise, because there are a lot fewer people getting on a riverboat than there are getting on a big ocean-going liner. And as we said in the travel news, you know, one of the things they're trying to do is make check-in day easier, because it's a pain in the rear end, the day you arrive and the day you depart. And with a riverboat, it's just one of the reasons it's easier is because it's a lot smaller group of people. So to me, I like a boat. In this case, it's a boat, not a ship. I like a boat that doesn't that I can walk from one end to the other in 3 minutes. You know,
there you go. It's true. Some of these larger boats looks like it could take you a week. Speaking of food on a cruise and such, Mark, understand you got a chance to go see our friends over at Rudy's yesterday. How was it?
I did, and I was just during the news break eating the rest of my halibut that I brought home with me. I hadn't been to Rudy's for a long time, and of course you've been talking about them. We've been talking about them on the radio for a while now, and they have all those wonderful specials going on and stuff. I hadn't been to Rudy's. Rudy's is old school, you know, and it's run like an old school place. It's sort of like Cheers, you know. I suspect that they know the names of a whole lot of the people who come there.
Oh, you know it, yeah.
Yeah, because it feels like it's that kind of place. Steve LaRosa and I went there for kind of a business dinner, kind of a Travel Guys discussion dinner, and boy, I had the halibut. What did Steve have? I don't remember. He didn't have lobster. I forget what he had now. But anyways, wonderful meal, wonderful service. Rudy's isn't cheap, so the food is good and the service is great. And when those things come up in a restaurant, those combinations, usually it's not inexpensive. So, but they have some great specials, and the way the servers tell me that our listeners have been taking advantage of those.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I mean, if the price points and certain things are just a little bit too high for you the first time in, take advantage of this. First of all, every Mondays, Rudy's Hideaway offers the two for $65 dinner special. The options include lobster tail, prime rib, filet bourguignon, chicken marsala, or golden fried prawns, and each entree includes Boston clam chowder, baked potato, vegetables, and San Francisco sourdough. And all week long, just mention Travel Guy Special, 6-ounce lobster tail dinner for only $29.95. That is pretty darn good. Hey, just ask for the Travel Guy Special. Tell them that Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, sent you. Rudy's just off Highway 50 at Hazel. All right, my friends, coming up, we're joined by the infamous local comedian celebrity Jack Gallagher. Going to talk about his next show with Jack and the Band. It's next here on the Travel Guys. Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget links to our special guests and all of that at TravelGuysRadio.com. And we're very, very pleased to have back with us Jack Gallagher, Sacramento legend. And the reason we have Jack back is because Jack's got another show coming our way. Good to have you back with the Travel Guys, Jack.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Tom. Always a treat, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, and it's our pleasure. I just have one question for you, Jack.
Uh-huh.
Again?
Yes. I know, huh? Well, you know, here's the thing, and this is the truth. I generally like to do one show a year, just because uh-huh. I don't want it to be like, oh, we can see him next week. So I did a stand-up show in December, and I'm doing this music show in April because we spend a lot of time back east and we have a lot of family stuff this year back there, so we're going to be back there longer than we usually are. So this is the only show that I'll do this year, is the April show.
So for all the Jack Gallagher fans out there, this will be your only chance to see him in person unless you're in a dive bar somewhere in Massachusetts.
Right, unless you're I won't name the bar on Cape Cod, you just have to find me. it's kind of like a Where's Waldo kind of thing.
You're coming back to the Sophia on April the 20th, mm-hmm. which is a Saturday, and two performances on the schedule this time: a 5:30 and an 8.
A 5:30 and an 8. It's 4:20. So you know, for those who imbibe, 4:20 is the day. Yeah, two shows: 5:30 and 8:00. We didn't plan that, by the way. We did not plan that. Yeah,
just something that happened. You're going to have your band with you.
I am. We're doing the music show that I do pretty much every other year with these same musicians that I've worked with the last 10 or 12 years. A lot of fun, this show. We do cover tunes. We tell stories about the songs. We do some comedy. And it's an amazing band. And it's like, it's like every comedian wants to sing with a band, and that's what I get to do.
Outstanding, outstanding. This isn't the Brewer and Shipley band, is it, by the way? The ones that we interviewed those guys last few years, the ones that did that song One Toke Over the Line. They're always available for interviews on 420. Hey, I understand you got a horn section this time. What pieces do you have?
We are very excited. We have we've got three pieces. Now, I said to my friend Dick Bright, who's the band leader, I said, what do you call these guys? And he said, they're the Horns. And I said, okay. And then he explained to me that, you know how the band, Robbie Robertson and Levon Helm and those guys,
right,
were just called the Band,
right,
because they were so good? These guys are just called the Horns.
Wow.
And we got a sax, we've got a trumpet, and we got a trombone.
That's great. I have to assume that there's got to be maybe, come on now, one Huey Lewis in the News song in there.
I can't divulge the set list. it's like the Coca-Cola formula. It's locked in a vault in Atlanta.
It says Jack will be threading musical tidbits and trivia to tantalize and nostalgia-ize. I don't know that. Didn't know that was a word. Lovers of music from various eras and genres. So wait a minute. Let's see. Threading musical. This really sounds like somebody in a PR department wrote it. Jack will be threading musical tidbits and trivia to tantalize and nostalgiaize. Can you just break that down into something that those of us on the street might be able to understand?
No, I don't understand it. What? This is another story that I tell. We do a song by the Turtles called Eleanor. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, sure. I remember Eleanor. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great tune. Okay, so here's the backstory to Eleanor. They had a big hit with Happy Together.
Right.
And those two guys, Howard Kalin and Mark Volman, leader of the Turtles, they were more rock and roll guys. They wanted to be something more than poppy. So the record company said, we need a Happy Together. So they sat down and tried to write the worst possible pop song they could write. And they came up with Eleanor, rhyming things like etc. with better. And they took it to the record company, thinking the record company would go, oh my God, this is terrible. And the record company said, perfect. It's exactly what we want. And it turned out to be a big hit for them.
Wow.
Sounds
so,
like...
So, you know, I have a lot of those little rock and roll trivia things that that we throw in during the show.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
There you go. All right, Jack is coming back to town. If you want to know the date, it is the 20th of April. He's got two shows at the Sophia B Street Theater, 5:30 and 8 o'clock. Tickets are $38.50 plus service charge. You can. We will have a link at TravelGuysRadio.com to the box office. So if you've got $40+ that you just don't know anything, you can't think of anything to do with it, why, this would be a reasonably good opportunity to waste part of a Saturday afternoon or evening. Hear some wonderful music and fairly mediocre comedy, I would think.
That Mark, please.
That's in keeping with my career trajectory.
This isn't the first time Jack has done a musical performances, so those of you that have been there before, I have a feeling a lot of you will be coming back. Jack, keep working on those chops. It sounds like a fun show. I got to go.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me. Yeah, it's a really fun evening. It's a lot of songs people know. We got a lot of sing-alongs, and should be a good time, so contact the B Street box office.
I was there in December, and we really enjoyed the show. I've given you a bad time here, Jack, but there are not too many things that I'd rather do than spend an evening listening to you babble. And now that you've got music with it, why, heck, you know, I mean, you could...
The music rounds out the rough edges.
Your dreams could come true, or you could just go see Jack and the band. I mean, those are kind of your choices. April the 20th. B Street Theater, link at TravelGuysRadio.com. Behave yourself. We'll see you on the 20th.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Boy, dream come true, huh? Being a professional comedian, and Jack's always been a very entertaining guy. And then to, you know, have a band and some music and so forth. Talk about living the dream.
Yeah, well, and you know what? It's just, it sounds like he's just kind of doing it for the fun of it at this point. I don't think it's about the money.
Nope.
I think it's because it's what he likes to do. And the guys, when he brought the guys from Massachusetts in December, they were hysterical. I thought, this is not going to work. And it was perfect. And so I have no doubt that this will be a fun evening. I also have no doubt that the tickets will go quickly. So there's a link at TravelGuysRadio.com. You can call the Sophia or the B Street or go to their website. The tickets are on sale. I strongly recommend that you get your tickets early. And thank you, Jack, for your time. That was a lot of fun.
All right. We're nearing the end of another Travel Guys show. We got a couple of odds and ends to take care of, and here we go.
We do. Department of Transportation has developed a thing called a customer service dashboard. There's a lot of things. I don't have time to tell you all the things it can do. Chris Elliott sent me this note. So you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. If you just have some issues when it comes to travel, particularly airlines, it tells you what service commitments and stuff like that airlines have made. There is, you know, a big discussion now going on whether or not rental companies should ban electric vehicles. One CEO has already lost his job. A U.S. senator is pushing a bill that would, a gentleman from Arkansas, that would require rental car companies to let customers terminate a rental car agreement. So, in other words, if you get to Hertz and you've ordered a car, and now they tell you, well, Mr. Romano, we're out of regular cars, but we have an electric car for you, that you could tell them, no, I don't want that, and you would have no obligation to take it. So, because apparently there has been quite a bit of pushback. If you don't know the story, this guy at Hertz promised people that, you know, he brought all these electric vehicles into the company and stuff like that, and it just turned out to be a nightmare for a lot of reasons. Okay, something quick and fun here. Airports with the longest walks in the terminal, in other words, you could walk this far if you were connecting from airline A to airline B. Longest walk, Dallas-Fort Worth. That won't surprise anybody. Dulles, Bush Continental, Denver, and Kennedy. Shortest walks, Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, White Plains, New York, Harrisburg in Pennsylvania, Great Airport, Lihue, Kauai, and Burbank, California. That about does it. Thank you for the privilege of your time today. We have had a great program. This is just a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing it, and our audience is getting bigger. Cool. Dance like nobody's watching.
Sid and Dale from the TSA join us next Saturday at 11 a.m. See you then, right here on The Travel Guys.